Thank you. I was petrified of him, by the way. Absolutely petrified. I want to speak to you tonight about being thirsty and then being satisfied. You know, when I was a little bit younger, I used to be a runner, as you can tell from my physique. I used to do a lot of distance running. I wasn't particularly good at it, but I thought I was. And I did a few marathons. I did 3 marathons. A couple of London marathons, and then an Edinburgh marathon. And the Edinburgh marathon was the hardest because it was the hottest day on record in Edinburgh for 50 years. It was about 35 degrees, which is very hot for anywhere, particularly for Scotland. It was really boiling hot. And if you know anything about the makeup, the physiology of a ginger man, you'll know that heat and gingers don't mix. They don't mix. Amen. Was that you, Ricky? I can't see anyone, but yeah. Thank you. And so I knew that I had to run in the heat, and I wasn't that well prepared, to be honest. My wife and I and our eldest daughter now, we've got 3 kids now, but at the time we just had Georgia. She's 5 now. She was about 1 year old then. And we went up to Edinburgh and we stayed over the night. It was absolutely boiling. And in the morning, Stacey had to get me ready. So she gave me some of Georgia's sun cream, which was factor 50 plus. But what she didn't tell me is that this sun cream was green. And, you know, because when sun cream runs out on your kids, you want to know, don't you, when it runs out, that you've got to put more on. And that's the reason. So I was green for this marathon. But also, I was wearing this pink vest. And pink doesn't go with this colour hair at the best of times. But when you're green with a pink vest and ginger hair, it's just a nightmare. So after all the ridicule and the laughter on the start line, we set off and I kept going. But after a while, I was getting really, really thirsty. And so I kept going to the water stations and drinking water. And I thought, oh, there's lots of water stations. This is good. I'll keep hydrated. But do you know you can drink too much water? In fact, the effects of drinking too much water are the same as the effects of drinking too little water. You get water intoxication. And I was beginning to realize this about the 20-mile mark of a 26-mile race. I was seizing up internally. I was getting cramps in my legs, cramps in my stomach. I was really struggling. And the problem was, I'd also lost a lot of salt, and I wasn't replacing the salt. What I needed wasn't actually that water. I needed a different kind of drink with electrolytes in, with salt in, that would properly restore me, properly get all my physiology right within me so I could carry on. You know, the truth is I had to stop. And if you know anything about running, once you've stopped, you've had it really. I never, ever got going again in that race. I ran a bit, walked a bit, ran a bit, got to the end finally. But it wasn't very pretty, to tell you the truth, particularly due to what I was wearing. But what I'm trying to say to you is that I didn't drink the right drink on that occasion. And in life, we thirst after things, and we seek things, and we drink different things that aren't necessarily good for us. Some of them we think are good, but to be honest, none of them can satisfy us properly. None of them can give us eternal satisfaction. The only thing that can do that is faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about that tonight. I want you to respond after this. I'm going to make an appeal for you to respond to this message, to ask Jesus to come into your life. If you don't know Jesus, then I want to give you an opportunity to know him. Maybe it's the first time you've been to church. Maybe you've been coming for a while. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know the satisfaction that comes from knowing that you're going to heaven? I wonder if you've experienced that. I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. You know, the truth is, we all look for satisfaction. We all look for eternal satisfaction. It's actually built into us. We've got something in us that wants eternal life. We don't want to die, do we? But the truth is we will do one day, and it won't be up to us. The Rolling Stones sang a song, didn't they? I can't get no satisfaction. I was going to get Darren to do a little guitar for that. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, they didn't exactly have perfect lives, did they? The Rolling Stones. Drug addictions, broken marriages, alcoholism, more and worse than that. You know, the truth is, in this life, we can seek and drink lots of different things, but none of them are going to satisfy. Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Eternal life. It also says elsewhere in the Bible, God says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water. You know, a cistern is a well that holds water underground, usually. And if it's broken, the water falls out, the water trickles out, and it can't really be used. And what this piece of scripture is saying is just that if you seek anything else other than God, it will be broken. It will lead to death, actually. It will lead to death. So I was looking at some, you know, I'm an academic. I work at the university. I was looking at some research on the main causes of death. It's an exciting life I lead. The main causes of death between the third world and the Western world where we live. And, you know, the findings of that research are quite stark, because the things which people in the Western world seem to die of are things like cancers, heart disease, liver disease, that kind of thing. And mainly those are caused by lifestyle choices, the things that people choose to do. Maybe it's smoking, maybe it's drinking, maybe it's eating habits. But, you know, in the third world, it's very different. The main causes of death are largely unpreventable things, things that aren't choice, things like AIDS and malaria and famine. Isn't it amazing that we, through seeking things and making choices in our lives, drinking different things, eating different things, we actually cause our own death? We contribute to it, at least. You know, I was looking at some of the research from the Department of Health in this country. It's quite interesting, actually, because it says that the harmful use of alcohol costs the NHS around £3.5 billion a year. We're a thirsty nation, according to this. It said that 8% of all hospital admissions involve an alcohol-related condition. It also said that alcohol-related deaths account for about 5.3% of all deaths in England and Wales. And it said that Britain is 13th out of 196 countries for binge drinking, 25th out of 196 countries for overall alcohol consumption. And the global kind of average intake of alcohol is around 6 litres. In the UK, it's about 12. It's double the global average. So we're quite thirsty, aren't we, in Britain? We drink a lot. You know, there are more pubs than churches in Britain. 57,000 pubs and only 37,000 churches. All over the country, you'll probably know and probably have seen that church buildings, old beautiful church buildings, are being turned into pubs, being turned into nightclubs. I'll tell you a secret. We bucked the trend here. We took an old pub and turned it into a church. And this is a place where we'd like to give people an opportunity to drink the right drink, to drink the drink of Jesus Christ, and to be full of the Holy Spirit, and to know that you can be satisfied. Do you want that? Do you want to know that you're going to heaven? Do you want to be satisfied? Because chasing other things doesn't do it. It's not just bad things either that people chase. You know, the Bible says there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There are good things in the world that we chase and we seek. Things like family, friends, maybe a career, maybe fitness, maybe a house, maybe a car, maybe possessions. There's nothing wrong, is there, at all, with any of those things. We all seek them to an extent. We all want them. But the problem is, if we seek those things only, those things won't lead us to heaven. Those things will end. Those things will end when we die. They haven't got any eternal value. They might be valuable in this world, but this world doesn't last very long. There is an eternal life, you know. An eternal life. And you can choose your destination, funnily enough. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Jesus is the way to be eternally satisfied. The only way. There are lots of religions in the world, but Jesus said he's the only way to God the Father. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be satisfied." The problem is, the Bible also says that there's no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does right and never sins. You know, that word sin is a bit of an old word now, but it just means wrongdoing. Anything that goes against God's perfect standards, which are for our own good, by the way, anything we do that goes against those is sin, according to God. The truth is, a lot of us make a mess of our lives. You know, the very first people who God created made a mess of their lives. Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden, and they were deceived and chose to disobey God. They chose to eat from the forbidden tree, and they disobeyed God. And from that point forward, sin entered the world. Their children also sinned. Their son Cain killed his own brother. Sin has been increasing in the world ever since. And with sin came death. Death. And I was thinking about this, that we get ourselves in a mess, you know. And the other week, my two-year-old son, Nathaniel, I left him playing in the living room downstairs while I went upstairs. Only for a brief moment. I think I went for a wee or something like that. And it wasn't very long. But I came down, and he'd made a real mess, you know. He'd got the Sudocrem, this thick white cream that we usually use to put on his little bum, all right, to stop him having nappy rash. He'd got this cream and spread it all over himself, all over his body, all over his face, all over the carpet, all over the sofa. He'd made a right mess, you know. And to be honest, we make messes of our lives, don't we? Either us or people that we know, people we're connected to. Sin causes mess in our lives. And you know, one sin, one of the biggest sins, that sin that Adam and Eve committed, was disobeying God, was choosing not to acknowledge God. And in that moment, sin entered the world and death entered the world. And I wonder tonight if you know that. And if you have broken free of the power of sin. You see, the Bible says that we're slaves to sin. We can't help it. We're drawn to it. We seek it and we desire it. But the wages of that sin is death. The truth is that our sins deserve death. But do you know what the good news is? Jesus has paid the price for those sins. He's paid the cost completely. What Jesus has done on the cross for us is wiped the slate clean so that we can have a relationship with Almighty God. He made a way where there was none. See, God couldn't look at Adam and Eve anymore. He couldn't have them in his perfect world that he'd created for them anymore. He sent them out of his perfect world into somewhere else. He sent them away. See, God's so perfect, so righteous, his standards are so high that it's impossible for us to meet them. We needed Jesus Christ to come and live a sinless life in order to sacrifice himself and give himself completely so that we could know eternal life that only comes from having a relationship with God. And I wonder if you have that tonight. You know, it's impossible to earn your way to heaven. Impossible. There are lots of choices you can make in this world. There are lots of religions out there that you can choose to follow. Countless numbers, actually. I think there are 200 world religions, over 200. You can choose to follow those. But most of them say you have to earn your way to get God's approval. I wonder if you know, it's not about earning, it's about receiving. You know, the gift that Jesus Christ gave was himself for you and I. He died on a cross so that we could have a relationship with God again and we could have the promise of heaven. And I wonder if you have that, if you want that tonight. You know, we need Jesus to escape the power of sin in our lives. I'm a Christian now. I've been a Christian for 6 years. And I'm still a bit of a sinner, to be honest. And I don't think that will change. I do still sin. But the difference is, I'm not led by sin. I'm not thirsty for sin. You see, when I first went to that office that Stuart was talking about, I was very lost. I was a party animal, my mother used to call me. I used to drink as often as possible. I used to long for the weekend to come where I'd finish work and go out drinking. I was so led by my desire, my thirst for that sinful lifestyle, everything that comes with it. I was so deceived by that. But when I became a Christian, that thirst for bad things went. That desire to do those things went. And I wonder if you're bound by anything like that. Wonder if you're a slave to anything. Is there anything in your life that you just can't stop doing? No matter how hard you try, you just can't break it. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus can break that for you. He already has. He paid the price for everything on the cross. So my question to you is this. Do you want to be eternally satisfied? Who wants to be eternally satisfied? Who wants to know the eternal satisfaction that comes only from knowing Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. If you know and you're aware that you don't know Jesus, that you haven't made a decision to follow him, that you don't know whether you're going to heaven, if you really don't know yet whether you're going to heaven and you want to be sure tonight, I just want to encourage you to put your hand up. While everyone else's eyes are closed, I want to encourage you to just slip your hand up. And you're not putting it up to me. You're putting it up to God. You're saying to Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want to repent of my sins. I want to change, that word repent means. I want to change direction with my life. And I want to follow you, Jesus, the most perfect human being who's ever lived. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if any of you in here need to come to Jesus, need to say, yes, I want that eternal satisfaction, just raise your hand. Anyone? You know, I get a sense that there's maybe some people in here who are afraid of death. You know, we all know that we're going to die one day. And sometimes that fear really grips us. And it particularly grips you if you don't know where you're heading after you die. You know, the Bible tells us that we only head one of two places after we die. It's either eternal paradise or eternal damnation. It's either a place where every tear and all pain will be wiped away, or it's a place where the eternal fire never goes out. Eternal pain and torment. We had a preacher this morning who said that heaven is like a concentration of all the good things, all the best things in life, all in one place. There's no bad thing. And he said that hell is a concentration of all the bad things, all the worst things, all the pain and the suffering. I wonder, do you know which way you're going yet? Because unless you repent of your sins, unfortunately, you won't get to see the good place. So is there anyone else in here who would like to make a decision to go to heaven tonight, to say yes to Jesus? Just lift up your hand. I'm going to give you this last opportunity, and then we'll move on. Anyone else who wants to say yes? I want to be eternally satisfied and go to heaven and know that that's my destination. Okay.